thing. Duh. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Should we slow it down a little bit? Hang on.
Huh?
Hey.
Hey.
We're in it. We have been.
Hey.
Hey.
I have a stat that I saw
the
other day about The Last of Us. So 6.4
About the show or the game?
The show.
I figured. Sorry. No, you're good.
6.4 million people tuned in on Sunday, which was two Sundays ago, to watch the third episode, up 12% from last week and up 37% from the series premiere.
Yep.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
and it's
go ahead.
It's becoming HBO's fourth current series. Oh no, maybe I said that wrong. It averages 15 million plus viewers per episode.
Crazy.
That's kind of nuts.
It's only gained viewership every episode, I believe.
Yeah.
I didn't see the stats for the current episode that's out, but
I wonder if Mr. Beast videos get more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't really check that stuff, but it's pretty crazy how popular the show has become. I kind of think it's like the perfect storm, right? It's like an already existing IP that has a huge fan base.
Yeah.
And it's on HBO, which is known to produce very popular, culturally relevant shows. And
they're killing it.
And no one does it like HBO. It's just
actually someone does. His name's Mr. Beast. He gets like almost double. That's crazy.
Okay, no one in the TV/movie industry does it like HBO.
You're right. He's got it.
We'll just say the TV industry for now. Just
let's say it.
Yeah, TV industry. It's dominated by HBO. Yeah,
I think
they're bringing the heat. And also, another thing is, I think the genre is just a pretty popular genre. So it's like it's got everything going for it. Everything. You could get a casual person who knows nothing about the games to watch this. You could get your mom to watch this. It's the perfect storm. It's also really good.
Is that not a casual person? My mom.
Yeah, sure. Your mom's a casual person. Yeah, my mom's a casual person. The moms are casuals. This is known.
Correct.
That being said, we're back.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Correct.
Follow us on Twitter at LootersQPod.
Yeah.
Follow us on Spotify.
True.
Apple Podcast.
Apple Music. Album soon. Mixtape, maybe.
Yes. Send your stats, mads, glads.
Bads.
To LootersQPodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one.
What'd you just say? We're back.
Huh? We're back. We're back. Yeah. We're back twice in one episode. That's crazy.
For another fucking week.
Yep. Another week talking about League of Legends, some ARAM report, and finally the album media review.
Yes. Let's jump into some of the games that we watched, Matt.
Yeah. Did you watch LPL LCK this week finally?
I did watch some LCK.
Big.
Not watch any LPL.
That's fine. Let me just speedrun LPL real quick then, because I only got a couple games in. Yeah. I watched a best of three between EDG versus NIP or Ninjas in Pajamas. I don't like this team name. I don't like the abbreviation. I don't like saying NIP. Something about it.
I like Ninjas in Pajamas.
That's okay. It's just it's a bit of a mouthful. So then you have to call him NIP, and I'm like,
that's what she said.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
no problem.
The first two games are irrelevant because game three wound up happening, and the early game was just pure chaos between the bot lane and both junglers just 3v3ing in the bot lane basically for the first like 5 minutes. But ultimately EDG took over because they are a world championship team at their core, and they kind of just dominated the mid to late game and wound up just absolutely fucking destroying the nipples. And then I watched BLG versus WE. This one also went three games, so I'm not even going to talk about the first two games. BLG in this game, they did not really have a fair shake at things because Elk,
Were the first two games good, though?
Nothing really memorable.
Okay.
There was nothing like standout.
At
least that I can remember off the top of my head. I took notes, and I was like, I'm cleaning this up. So, game three, Elk, the BLG AD carry, he was basically just sprinting it. So BLG didn't have a very good shot at winning this game from the rip, and they pretty much just got slaughtered the entire game. Elk literally like killed himself like twice. It was it was very strange. I hadn't ever seen a pro player do that, but he was just running.
He said, "I had never seen it.
I had never seen it. Never."
He didn't want to play.
He might not have. I don't know. That being said, free Doggo.
Yeah,
that's all I've got to say.
We've been saying that.
Yeah, I think Doggo is free. By the way, I was just kind of like, he's not even on that team. I was just kind of saying it because I thought it'd be funny.
Oh no! Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a throwback.
It's a free Doggo. all right, what do you got, Dan?
Okay, so where do we want to start then? You want to go LCK?
Might as well go LCK, yeah. I feel like we have fewer of the Eastern games this week.
So I watched the HLE versus DRX match.
Nice.
Bit
of a grudge
game
match,
one. Yeah, I mean, definitely was.
HLE took all their players.
Yep, and except Barrow, they didn't want him, apparently. Game one, I think HLE kind of throw it. And I think it was definitely their game to win. Did you watch this match?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. And then game two and three, HLE looked like the best team in the fucking planet, and they kind of smash it. And I was like, the only way they lose this is if they throw it again. They didn't.
Nice.
So, that's kind of what I watched.
That's good to hear.
It was
go ahead.
Very refreshing to watch some stuff from the East.
Yeah. It's good to hear that HLE looked like the best team in the world, because I would say that's probably their ceiling. that's pretty funny, right?
It's why? Why would you say that?
Why? I think that, well, considering their mid and top lane are both just were the best team in the world, or were a part of the best team in the world, and then their jungler is it's Clid, so that's, you know. And then there's Viper, who was also formerly on the best team in the world.
Yeah.
Their support is a player life. It's life.
How did they let all of these players go? It's just,
they just don't care. It's
crazy to me.
I'm guessing it's got something to do with something that, you know, everyone requires. That's not
money.
It's money. It's money. or you could have said water, because I only said
water.
Water. Mm-hmm. It's not water either. It's money. I'm guessing that's a big part of it. DRX got what they wanted, which is a world championship, which they should have never expected to win. So they were like, fuck it, go.
Money.
we develop this roster in one world, probably on a budget too. We could do it again.
Let's run it back.
And now imagine, let's just predict it now in case it happens. DRX World Champions 2023. You heard it here first.
I've seen it before. They come through play-ins also.
Exactly. True. The new play-ins, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a bit more of a battle.
So
we move to the West.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Should we do...
Oh, wait. I didn't even talk about the game I watched.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad.
Probably do that.
I'm absolutely speedrunning this in my mind for some reason. I watched KT versus Damwon Kia.
Yeah.
This one also went three games. I was pretty excited to watch all three of them. The games that both teams won felt pretty one-sided, but I feel like that's just how it goes sometimes. I wouldn't say it's because of the meta or anything. It kind of just feels like, I don't know, it kind of feels like both teams just like made adjustments to their mid and late games in both games, except like, I believe it was Damwon who won the first game. They just dominated through and through. And then KT Rollster made a very solid adjustment in their late game that wound up just converting into overall dominance. And game three, they carried that momentum and played one of the best games I think I've ever seen a KT Rollster roster play.
I've heard that they've kind of upgraded, been playing a lot better.
Absolutely. Coz has looked great. Keen has been a very sought after top laner in the LCK for a while. Bunch of teams in the West have tried to import him, I'm pretty sure, and he just keeps staying in Korea, and he's
yes, sir,
looking really good. I think it was a bit of a no-show performance from Kana this game as well, from D plus Kia. It was rough. BDD had a very solid performance. He was on a Yone this game. He was pretty massive. Showmaker was kind of in the dirt this game as well, but I kind of think it might have just been draft gap, because I kind of just think KT was executing better. I think their mid was Yone, jungle Vi, top lane was Jax, and then their bot lane was Ezreal Lulu, and either way, aiming was nuts on the Ezreal. He was just carrying, and this game was just straight up not close. It was just pure domination from KT. So yeah, that's all I have. They also look like the best team in the world. I believe they could take on HLE in their peak form.
There was one thing that I was gonna say though. I think top lane is pretty tough right now with like the matchups that they have.
Hard agree.
It was
a Jax and a Gnar, and this was the second time I had seen this of all the games that I had watched.
Yeah.
At least in the East, and it has been Jax favored like every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy to me because I feel like range top usually like does pretty good into melee.
It's a dub. Yeah.
Yeah. The Jax has been dominating the lane.
Sorry. But yeah, so I think there's definitely, I think it's pretty difficult in the top lane right now, especially if like you, if you like go behind like at all, I think it's really tough to get back. It's kind of like that meta unless you're playing a tank.
Right. I was gonna say unless you're like something like with Engage with like like an Ornn, or I think Kaisante. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can play behind as well as something like Ornn can, but.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll start seeing some more like Ornn Malphite type of stuff.
I think we've seen a little bit of Ornn, but nothing crazy yet, right. I guess. All right, let's move Westerly then.
Yeah. LEC
we'll
or
start,
LCS?
Yeah, let's do LCS because it's on right now. You know,
sure.
This on Thursday, so.
Right.
No, I'm not going to talk about any of the games.
Gotcha.
So I watched FlyQuest versus C9 because I think this was probably
hype match like, of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
So, FlyQuest, man, they are looking so good.
Yeah. I don't think it's an overreaction to say Vikla might just be the best LCS mid laner of all time.
I mean,
he looked nuts in this game.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how good this team like. Consistently is looking so.
Yeah.
I think it's great. They started out 3-0 then.
Yep.
Because this was on Saturday.
No, they don't play on Saturday. This was a
Friday. Oh yeah,
this
so
a,
yeah Thursday.
Out,
Thursday.
They started
sorry.
Out 4-0 because they played against Golden Guardians on Thursday.
Oh yeah, and obviously they don't lose that.
Yeah. No. Definitely not. Both teams were undefeated going into this, and one of them came out. With the W, and it was the FlyQuest.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker was also
it was
on.
Questers.
Yeah, it was the Questers. Speaker was also on the Amumu this game, which.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. I don't know. That's a weird one. I don't know. I wonder what was going through their head when they were like, "Pick Amumu here." Like, not that it's bad. Just they were like, "Fuck it." You know.
No, we can just win on anything, I guess.
Exactly. I don't think they're gonna start a trend. Basically, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
Amumu is
so
very
either.
Strange pick.
Yeah.
Outside of the score rule.
I think tank games are pretty good still, so
yeah.
Maybe it makes sense why he went that.
Yeah, maybe it was like Sejuani Maokai were gone or unavailable.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, Amumu.
Fuck it, Amumu.
Same thing.
Yeah, kind of the same. It all just CC bot. Let's see, and then I watched CLG versus Immortals. CLG best team in the LCS.
Are they?
No.
No. Did they lose
well, not
to Immortals?
Not this game. Yes, they did.
Oh no. Oh no.
I was like, no.
This is bad, Dan.
I know. It was
that's
close.
That's an 0-2 week then as well.
I know it wasn't close.
It wasn't even close.
I don't think it was very close.
Oh no. Well, it also.
But
wasn't
I was
close.
Like, I was like, any team that if there's a team that can come back from this, it's CLG. So.
But they didn't.
No.
Okay. So maybe if there is a team that can do it, it's no longer CLG.
I don't know. It's one bad weekend.
Fair enough.
They'll keep rolling.
Yeah. They also played against CLG versus CLG also played against C9. This was the one of the other games I watched. Not really much to talk about here. C9 kind of just rolled them.
Fuck.
And it's brutal because it was Fudge on the Fiora of all things, and this was a notorious sprint pick at Worlds for him. So
sprint pick.
I don't know what else I would call it. And he,
nah,
he,
I like that.
He ran it down on them. He dominated them, and it. yikes! I don't know. CLG on the decline.
Know,
is it time to panic? Yikes!
Yike is on. He's on.
Oh, okay.
He's on G2.
Yuck. Yeah. CLG is on the decline. Is it an overreaction to say they're the worst team in the world, Danny?
Yes.
Okay. Can we overreact real quick? Can I overreact?
Yes, by saying that they are the best team in the world.
I'm going to overreact and say they are now the worst team in the LCS due to the fact that they lost to Immortals. I'm sorry, Dan.
Right. I believe in my boys.
Yeah, I think they can turn it around.
They're about to play also. So.
Oh, no. truth. If they lose, is it no reaction to say they're the worst team in the world ever?
Ever? No.
Oh, okay.
I won't let you spread this narrative.
I'm just going to keep doing it. Just because I think it's funny.
It is kind of silly.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. What else you watch?
I thought I watched another game, but I guess I didn't. Or maybe I didn't take notes on it. I guess I don't remember. I think TL had a good weekend last weekend. And, really performed and showed what they could do.
Nice.
So,
not to be that guy, but it's not a weekend anymore for them. It's a week.
Oh, yeah. I keep thinking that, but today is Thursday. So
true. It is Thursday, not a weekend. I did have one more game. I watched TSM versus EDG. And this was the best game I've seen FBI play, I think, in a while. Probably since he was on Golden Guardians. He had a quadra kill. He kind of just took over this game. He was on the Lucian. I don't believe they had Lucian Nami. I think it was like Lucian Lulu. The Lulu lane, if you will.
Yeah, that's something. That's another thing that I want to talk about is like these teams just like picking away like one of them. And it just seems like so bad. And because like you usually get like Nami and like I guess Nami without Lucian isn't very good. So it's like.
Correct.
It's like why? Why'd you play it?
What other team did I see do this? Was this I think it might have been the LEC, but I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter a whole lot. I think it might have been BDS versus Vitality.
But it's just very strange to me. Like I feel like you should just like give it and then, go for like a lane that can do well into it,
Just ban Lucian and don't worry about Nami. I think it's the correct way to go about it.
Or just do that. Like I don't know. It's kind of crazy to me that they do that.
Or
so
maybe Riot Games finally puts an end to the reign of terror that Lucian has in the bot lane, and they just nerf him. Maybe that's the answer.
I mean, they could do that too.
He'll just end up a mid laner again eventually, or top laner, and then we'll just have to deal with that. Which, whatever. But like,
can't wait for that.
Can't wait. But EG wind up destroying TSM, and TSM was 2-0 going into this game. So
yeah,
kind of a shocking defeat. No. I'm more shocked that TSM was 2-0.
Speaking of TSM, there was some weird, I don't even know what you would call it, segment, I guess, that the LCS did.
It was before their game against 100 Thieves, right? Because it was 00's first game against TSM since unretiring, I believe.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something to, like, I don't know, like, hype up the matchup or something, and it was, like, and it absolutely did not, so... and I guess it was just like them like shit talking TSM.
Yeah.
I was like, well, they probably deserve it, so.
I think what happened, and this is just like a brief summary I was actually just reading on Reddit, was like I think they kind of made a joke about the main thing that Reggie got suspended for, which was like verbally abusing people in the workspace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they made a joke about that.
Yeah.
And I think that didn't go over so well.
The LCS was like, run it.
Do it. Yeah. Like, what?
Like, I don't know. Exactly. Like what are you talking about?
Did anyone proofread this thing? I don't really want to talk much about that because I don't know enough about it. So that's just like the surface level of what I know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
The Twitter fingers came out as well. That's yeah, the other.
As they do, you know.
Exactly, always.
So that's just like what happened. Moving swiftly along.
So swift.
What do you think of this freaking what team? The TL team. What do you think of it?
I didn't watch any of them this week, so
okay.
I've got no opinion on it yet. I don't know. I think they have a high ceiling because I think Summit's a pretty good top laner, and I think Pioshik, if he's world champion Pioshik, has a very high chance of
I mean he's always world champion Pioshik.
True.
But
he is permanently him, but I think I think his ceiling is still high. So I think those two alone can raise the ceiling of a team in the LCS quite a bit. That's all I can say. Just off of their names alone.
Mm-hmm. let's see. I think that was all that I watched from the
LCS.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
So LEC, hold on, let me scroll down here. So this was a very important week. Speaking of which, let me pull up the standings for LEC because that matters.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I watched Team Heretics versus XL.
Yep.
Did
you saw before this, like, Evie tweeted, like, I don't want to say, or I respect Odo, but I'm going to send him on vacation or something like that.
Yes, oh, I did see that.
I love Evie so much.
Me too. I'm so glad
he's in
he
a Western
came.
Region.
Me too. Speaking of him, he does not play Cassanta this game.
Pig.
They finally banned it from him. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Also, I think Vidio finally he shows like that he's not garbage. This like he actually like gets a little bit of a lead and then he's able to like do things with that.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's probably the Vidio that they were hoping to have the whole regular season, I guess we'll call it, for the winter season. Jack Spectra has like the craziest fucking play on, I think he was on Zeri this game, where like he just like absolutely carries a team fight, and I was like, the hype is real for this guy. Like, that's it. You know, you can't deny how good this guy is. And Evie is nuts with other champions too. So, you know, I liked watching this game. And Team Heretics really need to get this win to make sure that they weren't, you know, possible for bottom two,
yeah.
Which they do, and that gets them another win. And I think going into this, they may have been 3-3. I don't exactly remember, but
yes, 3-3, 3-3 after mm-hmm. the win, or no, yeah, 3-3 going into it. You're right, and then 4-3 mm-hmm. after the win.
Yeah,
and then they, go ahead.
And then let's see. Next game was SK versus XL. I wanted to watch, like, this was on Saturday, I think. I wanted to watch, like, all the XL games because I wanted to see if they could, if they were going to be able to make it out, or not.
Were they not eliminated with that loss from Heretics? Because they would have been 1-6 at that point?
I didn't think so. I think it was, but I think it wasn't, like, in their hands, you know?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
You know, like, they needed, other teams to lose so that they could move up. I mean, I don't know. XL, they play great this game. They have an early game lead. And, I mean, SK just come back and, like, looking like a third-place team and kind of just smash them, and this knocks them out here. So this, like, confirmed that they can't get in.
Nice.
At all.
Love to hear that, genuinely.
Mm-hmm. And then last game I watched was also Team Heretics versus MAD. And I think this was an important game for MAD in terms of seeding, because you want to be first or second for the group stage so that you can pick, like, who... I don't remember what it is. Pick who you play, like, the first round, basically.
Yeah.
And then you also don't have to play against whoever was first in the standings. So it's like you kind of get to dodge the first place
mm-hmm.
in the opposite bracket. So.
Right.
So Niski gets a huge Penta. Okay, honestly, I didn't think it was that huge because, like, a lot of Heretics were pretty low. And but he still gets a penta on, I think he was on Silas here. And basically off the back of that, so he gets his penta like in base, in their base. And after he gets his penta, it's just like enough tempo shift for them to, for Mad to be able to win the game. It was freaking crazy. It was good.
Nice.
So that, I think, so that was, you know, important for them. And then they had, I think they had one more game, but I don't remember if I watched it or not. But those were the games that I watched. Nice. Did you watch any?
Yes, I did. I watched G2 versus BDS. There was a pretty solid 2v2 action in the bot lane on this game. Crowny, I feel, has been performing better than, like, any AD carry I expected. Like, I expected him to be ass, and he has performed better than ass by quite a bit.
I never thought that he was, like, bad or anything.
He was bad. I think, going into this split, I think I thought BDS was just going to be an awful team. And they have not been. They've actually been pretty exciting to watch.
Pretty good. I think it was really tough for, when he was crown shot. I think it was tough because he was on that Vitality team, and like he was supposed to be like, you know, the rock or whatever, and or like, you know, that big voice, and I don't think he fit that very well. So, you know, I think it was kind of tough for him to play the game and try and be that voice at the same time. So he wasn't able to really perform.
I see. I don't think he's a bad player. I just think I thought this team was going to be much worse. I think this team was going to be bad. And they have been the opposite. Well, maybe not the opposite, but they have been better than middle of the pack. Actually, they're literally middle of the pack. So they have been middle of the pack, and I predicted them like probably bottom. So
yeah, that's they're better than the bottom half.
Yeah. I think Adam's been having really good performances. Mm-hmm. Sheo specifically, this game against G2 that they played, Sheo kind of got gapped a little bit. I think it's kind of hard to perform really well on a tank jungler like in fights when your team's behind. And I think they started off the game pretty strong, but like the mid game was kind of just all G2. And Caps, he had like a crazy lead at one point. I think he was up like 3K over Nuke or Nuclear Int. And he kind of carried this game, to be honest. Like this one, it almost felt like it was out of the other team's control entirely because Caps just got that far ahead. The bot lane 2v2 though was surprisingly won pretty handedly by BDS in the early game. I think that was partially because it was Lucian Nami into like Zaya Nautilus. So that was just never going to go too well, I think. But it didn't really transition into anything for BDS. They kind of just got dominated in the mid to late game, like I said. Crowny, he started off like 4-0, and they wound up like 5-6, I think. 5-6, 5-5, something like that. He couldn't really get a whole lot going, I think, once they got out of laning phase. But the gamers win this one. And then I also watched another BDS game. I watched BDS versus Vitality. This one was a very long game, very back and forth. Sheo looked pretty good in this game, and I think he has been kind of the rock for this team, like you were saying. Crowny should have been for Vitality. I think he's been a very crucial part to their success.
Yeah,
same with Adam.
He's had some like really weird plays too that have been like really impactful in the games that he's in.
Absolutely. He was on the Wukong this game against Vitality, and I would say he was carrying like most of the game, but I think that they lack direction for the most part as a team. I think they could have closed this game out like 20 minutes before it ended, and it ended with them losing. So I think they gotta put something together there. I believe that this team can do it though. I think this team has like a pretty high ceiling. Just because I think they're kind of just playing carefree. It's kind of CLG-esque.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. I also watched BDS versus Team Heretics. I watched every BDS game this week accidentally.
I know, and I was going through mine. I was like, wow, I watched two XL games and I watched two Heretics games. which I thought was really funny.
This game was against Heretics. This one was actually just on kind of his background noise, so I threw it in the notes, but the only note that I really have is that Jack Spectra, he got hit by like every Ashar thrown at him, and he always had flash up. and that, I don't think that could happen. I know that, you know, he's a pro player and things happen, but he's a pro player and that is not one of the things that should happen. So he needs to work on that.
I mean,
and it's
I don't
not
know.
Even,
All my Ashars hit, Matt, so...
True, okay, yeah, fair enough. Maybe it was, like, the other... Maybe... Who was the support for BDS? It's Lebrov, right? Maybe he was having a very Arc 69-type game.
Correct.
I also watched...
And those are tough to come by.
Yeah. I also watched Fnatic versus SK, and I don't really have many notes on this. I just think Fnatic suck.
Oh, my God. I don't know how they're so bad. Like,
I kind of feel like... So, I was reading on Reddit, actually, earlier in the week, that they tried to sign, like, 5 different AD carries before they tried to get Reckless. And all of them said no because they didn't want to play with Rux. So...
You know, I did see something like that, and it was... how did they explain it? They explained it like, what was it? It's like they had better options to play with, you know?
Yeah.
Like this guy isn't, he hasn't like proven himself yet. It's not that they don't like how he plays or anything, but it's like, you know, the support pool is like really strong. So
I guess the main reason they went with Rux as well is because apparently their top side wanted to play with him. So I don't know if that means Humanoid, Berserk, and Wonder, or if it was just like Wonder, Human, or Berserk, or like whatever it may be. They just said their top side apparently wanted to play with them. So
okay,
I don't know. Something's got to change here though, because this team is smelly. They are second to last, only to the smelliest team, which is XL.
Correct.
Yeah. but I think I definitely feel like a lot of the LEC, I haven't watched enough of KOI to really form an opinion on them, that I see that they're seventh. And also, go ahead.
They really haven't had a, you know, a very great impact with this, I guess, new roster.
Right.
And I think it's...
Free comp.
You know,
we'll just start it now. Free comp.
You could say that.
Free Malrang. My bad.
That too.
one thing I just want to point out, I think I said it last week, if Astralis get in here, they aren't losing. So, Astralis,
and they're in.
Seed, they're in. Yeah. I'm predicting it now. Astralis Miracle Run. They will be your LEC Winter Split Champions.
Winter Dubberners.
Yeah. Winter,
they get the dubs.
The Winter Winners.
The Winter Wieners.
Yeah. The Winter Wiener Winners. Got anything else to say overall, Dan?
Yeah, I was gonna say something else, but I think I forgot.
Okay.
Oh, so since, you know, XL didn't make it, they have already started with changes.
Yeah.
their coaching staff, well, at least the two that are like, let me see, it was Youngbuck and Nelson, no longer part of XL.
Dang, they got Youngbuck and
coaching
Nelson.
Staff. I know.
XL legends, Youngbuck and Nelson.
Weren't they both on G2?
I have no clue who those guys are.
I think they were both
on G2. Now they're jobless. McDonald's workers. Yep.
Correct, they sure are.
Fry cook.
So, I mean, does this mean more changes to come? I guess
absolutely.
We'll have to see.
What is Fnatic going to do? Because there's no way they're going to go into the spring split with things the same.
I don't know, man.
I don't even feel like there's room for improvement. I don't think that I think this team's ceiling is 7th place. Or no, not 7th place. 9th place. My bad. At least from what I saw. I don't know. I watched enough games. I gave them a chance. And I don't want to watch anymore. Especially if no changes happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see if a lot of changes happen.
Absolutely.
Even for like other teams too, I guess we'll have to see. Maybe this 3 split things is also good because it lets you know, the teams change up rosters, but I don't know if I would want to do that.
Yeah, I think it depends on, like, I don't know how contracts work in this market. It's always been so weird to me. Like, randomly teams will just like, they'll just be like, yeah, this player is no longer under contract. And it could be, like, the middle of the split.
Yeah, and you're like,
it's like, what's up? Where he go?
What you mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, or, like, how trades work, or, like, none of it makes sense. There needs to be some ground rules laid. Like, recently, the NBA actually had their trade deadline, and, like, a bunch of players got traded. And all of that shit made sense to me without even a thought. And if, if something were like to happen like that in League of Legends scene, I would be like, how did this happen? What does this even mean? Like, what does the other team get as compensation? Like, what's even going on here?
just an observation. Just confusion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They gotta make it more.
Or just be more open.
Exactly.
I guess.
Be more. Yeah. Exactly. Like, we don't know what kind of contracts these players are signing. Are they afraid to show what kind of contracts these players are signing because they're worried the players will get flamed?
I don't know.
Professional athletes can do it, then so can the gamers.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, professional athletes probably have better contracts, but like.
100%.
I mean, like, who cares? Like,
show me their money. I mean,
I guess.
The one time I can think of, like, a player's contract being known was, like, when Jensen signed with TL for, like, $5 million.
Yeah, and I remember Perks. I think we knew what Perks was, too, in Sword Arts when he was.
Yeah, $5 million Chinese support. I remember that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
For, and then, for TSM, and then Double Lift didn't even play. And then TSM lost.
Correct.
Correct.
So funny.
So these
what a wild time. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, it really did happen. These LEC, is this technically playoffs or group stage?
It's group stage.
So the groups are they set? Is it Astralis, Mad Lions, BDS, G2? Is that one of the groups? And then the other group is, they have it as like brackets, so it doesn't say that it's like groups, but and then the other bracket is, or group is, Heretics, Vitality, Koi, SK, which is absolutely the group of death. Out of the two, this is the most competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see.
You got some real haters in here.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, Astralis sweeps the other one. 100%. No doubt in my mind.
You're saying Astralis will sweep Mad Lions?
100%. I have watched maybe two Mad Lions games. So my opinion, ever. My opinion on them is just Helios saying we'll sprint it, and Astralis is the best team in the world.
Correct.
At least now that they're in the playoffs, they're the best team in the world.
They play best of threes now, too.
True. And no way Astralis doesn't make the adjustments they need.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
No way.
What did he say? But yeah, I'm very excited.
Me too.
For this weekend, and to just like see how it all plays out, you know.
Same. I'm excited to see how it plays out as well.
That's all very, very new.
Yeah, they will be gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, they gotta be.
They gotta be gaming. I don't know what they would do if they weren't gaming.
Probably gaming.
But without money involved.
Yeah.
Low stakes gaming. It's kind of like what we do. It's a low-stakes game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, anything else you want to add before we switch on over to something not league-related?
Nope, I got nothing.
All right, let's hit this media review real quick.
Let's talk about the album that I was in charge of. I picked the album.
Yeah, he did.
This week. I actually picked it like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I totally...
He just didn't listen, and that's okay.
I literally just didn't.
Yeah, it's okay. I picked The Forever Story by J.I.D. This album came out August of 2022. I don't know. What are your overall thoughts on the album?
I was going to have you go first because you chose it.
Sure. I feel like I always go first, but that's all right. I'm going to start it off. So
all right. Well, if I, the next one that I choose, I'll go first. Then. Okay.
That's fine. Well, yeah. We're sticking to this from now on. Yeah, we probably will. I'll probably go first again. I think this is by far JID's best project. It is definitely one of my favorite albums that released, last year. And I overall think that this is just one of the better, more cohesive hip hop albums that has come out in the last, decade. At least since I've been paying attention. And I love it. I could talk more about it. We will go more in depth for sure. But a little bit more in depth at least.
I liked Denzel Curry's album more than this.
Sure. Yeah. No, I same here. This one is, it's very good in my opinion, but it's not as good as Melt My Eyes.
I liked it, but it definitely, like, I don't know if I'll go back and like listen to many of these songs.
Sure.
There were a few on here that I did know.
Oh, really?
Because of my brother.
Ben.
And, like, I think he's played Bredonym before.
Yeah.
And I heard that one from him, and then I knew Money from maybe just from watching streams. But I heard it and I was like, I've heard this song before.
Yeah, it was definitely in the rotation while we were in California too. So I think
maybe that too.
Yeah.
Also, so I'm gonna give like my top three songs.
Yeah, hit me with it.
I think Bredonym.
Is there a specific order?
I was just gonna say not in any specific order. 2007 and
nice.
Systonym.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine are probably Can't Punk Me. Fuck man. I could
that all of these. Is probably my least favorite song.
Really? Oh yeah, dude.
I did not like that
that's
song.
That's okay. I also really like Radar and Dance Now, but I would also probably put Stars in my three. I could pick all of these.
I like Dance Now. That one is probably it would be in my top five, and then Surround Sound would probably also make the top five.
Yeah, Dance Now and Surround Sound I think were the singles he released for this album. Mm-hmm. I liked, so what didn't you like about Can't Punk Me?
I don't like how they sing it. I don't like that at all.
Huh. I feel like the song has like an energy to it. It's got like a I don't like it. No, that's fine. I think something about it, like, I think that the feature by Earth Gang on here is very good by both artists from Earth Gang. I think JID's verse, it's just, I don't know, like, the beat and their fast-paced flows throughout the entire beat is, it just works for me. It does it for me in a way that I can't describe. And also, I think Radar is another song where it's got, like, two different beat switches on it, and he seamlessly changes up his flow on each different beat, like that, like at the drop of a dime, and it's pretty impressive stuff. And Dance Now, I think it's just the production on this song is sick. Surround Sound's the same thing. I think another banger. Bredonym is definitely also one that I could have in my top five. I really like Lil Durk's feature on this.
I really liked I really liked Bredonym and Systonym because he's obviously talking about his brother and sister.
Yep.
And just like, you know, it just has like a story to it, and I think that's interesting, and like the songs are good, so you know that's why I like those, and it's kind of the same with 2007 where he talks about like,
yep, it's like when his he was whole in college, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just like it's mostly just in college and like how he became a rapper, not so much like when he was a kid and stuff. That's more Crack Sandwich.
Yeah. Which is also another good storytelling song. I actually like that
I think
a lot.
That one's also good. I like where he says in 2007 when he's talking about bologna sandwiches.
Oh, that's in Money. But yeah, the first time we talked.
Yeah, oh yeah, it
time,
was Money. It was
the
Money.
The first time
yeah.
we talked about a bologna sandwich, he said he would kill someone if they handed one to him right now.
And then the next time he said
I would kill one right now.
I was like, bro, same.
Yeah, that Money is. I don't know if there's like a weak spot on this album for me. I really do like every single song on here. It wasn't as like. It didn't feel as perfect for some reason as Denzel Curry's album to me, but it's hard to compare the two because I think these are two different albums for sure. I think
I agree.
Denzel Curry's album's a bit more introspective, and this one's just a bit more. I don't know. I feel like it covers a lot of ground on this one. So, yeah, I also really like Lauder 2. The bass line on that song is crazy. I think that's Thundercat. He has a feature on there.
I agree with that.
Money as well, like you already said, and Stars has his feature from Yasiin Bey, which is also probably best known as Mos Def, and his feature is it's crazy. And yeah, and there's also a really solid feature by Ari Lennox on Can't Make You Change, which is kind of like an R&B.
I didn't like that song either.
That's understandable. It is kind of repetitive, so I can understand that. I think she has a pretty,
which is fine, feature, but like I don't mind it being repetitive. I don't know the whole like structure of the whole song, I can't really get into.
Fair enough. How many times did you listen to this one?
I think I ended up listening to it like 7 or 8 times, maybe more.
Nice.
I don't exactly remember, but I did it justice, Matt. I didn't listen to it, you know.
No,
like,
I believe you.
Like 3 times or nothing.
I believe you. I was just asking. Yeah, I have probably had this, for the most part, the entire album in a pretty steady rotation since it came out, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I overall, I think this is just his best project. Probably my second favorite album from last year, mm-hmm. I would say, behind Melt My Eyes. So, pretty solid year from hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever, like, rank stuff like that, like, throughout the year.
Fair enough. I mean, I was just kind of just thinking back on it. I listened to a lot last year, and this was definitely my mm-hmm. second favorite thing that I listened to. So
yeah. No, I'm just kind of thinking of, like, myself and stuff and, like, what, you know, how I think of music. Like, I don't really care, like, what other people think of it. It's just, like, if I like it, then, you know, it'll be in the rotation. It doesn't have to, you know, if no one else thinks it's good but I like it, then it's, like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel that.
But I don't know. And it's difficult for me to rank things because my favorites change so quickly, I think, mm-hmm. That it's tough to, you know, land on a ranking for the year, you know, because it's kind of like if you ask me right now and then you ask me like a month from now, it might be different.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand that. And I would say I'm just kind of basing it off of like what I've heard. Like I'm not, you know, like,
no, I'm not saying that you're wrong or anything. I'm just thinking more about like how I, you know, think of music and stuff.
Sure. Well, we all know that around this time next year, our album will be album of the year, no matter what. So
you're damn right. In our eyes, it is.
Exactly. You want to give a number score here, Dan?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I gave the Denzel Curry one.
Yeah, I don't remember what you gave it.
And I think I gave that an 8 because I did like that one a lot.
I feel like you gave it a 6.
No way.
I don't know.
I gave it a 6.
I'm gonna pull up the VOD later. And I'll,
yeah, please, and tell me what I said. Because I think that album deserved much higher than a 6.
I 100% agree. I gave it a 10. Uh-huh. I fucking love that album.
I think I did give it an.
You might have given it an 8. I don't remember for sure. I'm not gonna say you gave it anything.
I would give this one a 6 though.
Okay, I think that's fair. I mean, this isn't your genre of choice either, so it's like, I wouldn't say you had, not that you, it's like hard to listen to it or anything for you. It's
no,
just,
I didn't think so.
I guess you just don't like. I don't know how to put this.
I'm about to flamed.
No, it's okay. I think it's just hard.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's probably hard
whatever,
to talk about something like this if you don't have like a steady baseline of what you know and what you think is quality. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what to expect from an Earth Gang feature because you've never heard anything from Earth Gang except this song
mm-hmm.
That they're featured on. So like,
yeah,
you don't, I don't know if that mm-hmm. makes sense or if I'm like gatekeeping. I'm trying not to gatekeep. And I totally think 6 is a fair assessment. I personally am giving this album like a 9 out of 10. It could probably be a 10, but I think on repeat listens, Crack Sandwich doesn't always do it for me. Every now and then,
yes,
I'll skip it.
I agree with that.
Every now and then, it's like, I'm gonna skip this one. I've heard it enough.
I really agree with that because I don't know why. It just like has like something difficult about it to like listen to, you know?
Yeah.
It's
kind of, go ahead.
I don't even know like what it is, you know. So, but I don't know. I kind of want to talk about that more. Like, what about not the gatekeeping, but like,
sure,
like why you think that I, you know, don't like it as much. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
So I don't think the beats didn't really, you know, get me nearly as much as you know, I guess more like R&B hip hop stuff. Like when I listened to Denzel Curry, and then when I listened to like even The Weeknd, even Don FM. You know, which I think that's kind of tough to put in the same category as this. But
sure,
I think it just didn't really Because that's like what I really listen to is like the music, you know, not so much the lyrics and whatnot. So it's like if the music doesn't really catch me, then, you know, the lyrics
don't matter to you at all.
Yeah, the lyrics like have to do a lot. Like, you know, in the songs that like have stories and stuff, like those lyrics do a lot for me. So that's why I like them more.
Okay.
You know, I've listened to my fair amount of hip hop, but I don't know. It's like, you know, it's just kind of like whatever to me.
Yeah.
Unless like, you know, I listen to something or I'm recommended something like we do with this and it's like, oh wow, that's really good. And you know, like I'm glad I listened to that and, you know, kind of opens up your horizons more. So.
Yeah. I think from my perspective, I guess how I see it, I'm going to try to put it to words without sounding like an idiot, which is very hard for me usually. I guess it's
true.
Like
you are an idiot.
Yes, correct. I really am. I think one thing that's hard for me to like explain is like I can appreciate the feature, like not exactly the feature, but like the lyrics. Like I don't think they have to be saying something like super meaningful, like something like Brought an M or System M. Those are very personal songs, I feel. Mm-hmm. And then
not always for that. Like for me, like you know that doesn't always make or break a song.
Sure.
But
you're kind of saying like if the beat isn't something that immediately grabs you, it needs to be something lyrically that's going to grab you.
Or both, you know?
Right. Sure. You're not saying it has to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. You're saying one or the other, but also both can coincide, obviously.
Yeah.
I just think like, I don't know. I can appreciate the intricacy of like how they flow over the beat and how it all sounds and how like cohesive stuff can be. Like for instance, Earth Gang's feature, Earth Gang is two separate people, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember their names. I'm sure you probably figured that out, but I feel like they all have like the same kind of energy on the song. Like JID's verse has like he starts off with like this like fast paced, kind of more in your face style, and I think it carries over into the first member of Earth Gang. I can never remember their names. But I just think that they go from one verse to the next in a very like cohesive manner, and it brings this like hype energy, and every time I hear it, I don't know, the song kind of just gets me going.
And I understand like what you mean by that, because like obviously like how a hip-hop artist or a rapper like you know raps over a beat like with their flow like that, that can determine whether or not a song is good or not, but
100%.
it doesn't mean that much, you know, to me. Sure. Like it doesn't care. Like it doesn't really matter to me, you know.
Right, and I guess what I'm saying is, I think since I've listened to quite a bit more, maybe I have an appreciation for it, and it's not maybe because I've listened to more, but maybe it is because I don't know.
It's just like you notice it more, and you like understand it more, and like you have a better understanding of like what they're doing and like how impressive it actually is, but I don't have a baseline and you do. So,
and you're gaining a baseline as well, which is important. you're going to become very cultured, Dan. I'm going to change your perspective. But at the same time, I'm forming these opinions completely on my own. I'm listening to stuff that I like, and if I don't like it, I'll say it's trash. And I've never been shy about that, but I think that's like the most important thing to me in music is like, if I like it, I like it. And it doesn't matter to me if other people like it. And you said that
also
as well.
Also just like on that kind of like why I like music and stuff, even if it's like a catchy like line or something, sometimes that's enough to like get me, you know, to like have a song on repeat over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes it doesn't matter, like, how cheesy or how, like, bad people think it is or whatever. If it just, like, feels good in the ears or in the brain, then it's, like, you know.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like you have a hard time understanding lyrics?
No, because the kind of music I listen to, like.
Yeah, fair. You listen to screaming.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, when you first start listening to that kind of stuff, you have, like, no clue like what they're saying and stuff, and that's like the more and more you listen to it, you like you start to understand everything, and then people are like, how do you understand what they're saying? It's like, I've listened to like this stuff so much, and you know, it's just like you just like learn it over a while.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think so. Also my ears are going not, you know, they're going pretty bad. So
yeah, no, same here. I will absolutely have tinnitus.
I do.
Oh, you like medically?
Well,
you hear the ringing.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it like, you know, like checked by a doctor or anything, but
I've got that ring,
you know,
too.
I know I have it simply because of the ring, and I know exactly why. So
yeah, same. I just wanted
to... now that I, speaking of that, now like whatever shows that I go to, I think I'm gonna start wearing earplugs for the, like, if it's like a, you know, like the opening band or whatever, and I don't like give a shit about them or whatever, then
yeah,
I'll probably wear them. And then it's like when, you know, the boys that come on that I like, then I'll probably pull them out.
I feel that.
You know, it like lessens it, so right. You know.
I guess I wanted to, like, while we're here, I wanted to go over like a specific verse. This was like one of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
Or favorite lines in the, I believe it's the third verse on Radar. Mm-hmm. And it starts off and he just kind of goes on this flow, and I think it's very impressive. But my favorite part is he starts off with, "They inferior and fear when I'm rapping, but I ain't rapping. This is spiritual, shed a tear so it'll curate when miracles happen." Like,
yeah.
How do you come up with that? That is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's this kind of stuff that when I heard that, I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it with like the perfect flow. And if you said it in any other cadence, it would sound so weird, but he says it like just perfect.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that whole thing leads into like a whole other like flow that he starts off.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking about lyrics, I'd want to go over one. It's a part of the 21 Savage verse.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what you interpret this as. So it's, hit from the back, she giving me slurp, and I ain't even pull my pants
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
I thought, I heard that today, like I, you know, just, like, heard it again, and I was like, that's funny.
What does he mean by giving me slurp, I ain't even pull my pants down? How does one give slurp / receive slurp with their pants up?
I don't know, but I think that's funny.
It's very fun. It's really funny. Every time I hear it, I'm like, what does he mean by that?
Yeah, hee hee.
But yeah, with that being said, I'm giving this one a 9 out of 10. Probably could be a 10 out of 10 as well, just depending on if I'm feeling crack sandwich on the day.
I would not like a crack sandwich.
Not a literal crack sandwich, just a song. Mm-hmm. Also, I really like the intro to this entire album. I really like the...
Yeah, I like the intro,
very
too.
Very melodic, yeah. It's
I liked some of the like spoken word stuff also.
Yeah.
You know, like 2007, I think someone, I don't know if it's like his actual dad or not, but
it is. It's his actual dad.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really funny too. He's like, this is my son. He came from
these nuts. I was like, all right, I like this guy.
Yeah, he's the best. And there's J. Cole also, he kind of just tells the story on the back.
Yeah, and that too, like, oh yeah. I was like, give me this.
And the,
this is
just
great.
The music playing in the background, it's like building up. It's
yeah,
very good. 2007 is a great addition to this album.
Oh, yeah. Is that the...
That's the extended edition song.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really brings the album together at the end, you know?
100%. Love that.
And I like that J. Cole's on it, too.
Yep.
You know, kind of the guy that brought him up and whatnot, so...
Yep. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I can't wait to give you my next one. I've got a couple albums in mind, and I'm excited.
I'm gonna give you a pretty weird one too. I think I said that last time, but the next one's actually gonna be weird.
Yeah, so. I've got a couple, so we're gonna find out. I wanna think of, mull it over a little bit and see what we got.
Hell yeah.
All right, I think that's it for
A-Rain Report.
Yes, sir. Another week.
Another week.
A-Rain Report.
We're back.
Five games, yes.
A win record of 3 wins, 2 losses.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. I think
the pop percentage has gone up. Win rate is kind of the same. I think we're still at 58%. We're still out killing our enemies.
None of the percentage stacks are showing up for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's all gone. Everything but our games played.
Really? I'd restart it just make sure.
Yeah. I'm very scared.
Oh, just scroll up. Scroll up.
Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. I don't know why.
Because I have that row locked.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. I do have to update the game minutes, though. Give me 1 second.
Did we already talk about unique champions and how I'm still out in the lead by one?
By one? Yesterday we were tied, and then I wanted to play Galio again. So.
I broke away.
It's one.
I'm not looking back this time, Dan.
Uh-huh.
I think it's been a little while since I played a duplicate champion, actually. Since I noticed, I've just been playing everything that I can that's different.
Uh-huh.
I must have had a similar one here, though, because I don't know how you would have caught up to me otherwise, if not. Maybe the Aphelios game? I actually can't tell. I don't think I do.
Can't remember what it was. I thought you did have another one that was the same.
You know what? Doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm still on top. for now. This week. The pop percentage has gone up, right? It's gone up 6%, right? Because we were at 21. Mm-hmm.
It has gone up, yep.
Huge. Mm-hmm. We're bringing it back. We're really clawing back the popped.
Yeah, we really are. I hope to get that at least to 50% by the end of the split.
Absolutely. 36 games total. 58% mm-hmm. win rate. Yeah, that I think that's about the same as it was last week.
Yeah,
it's not
we
a
are,
bit higher, I think.
We are chewing through games, that's for sure.
True.
Which I'm glad that we are.
Same.
Been a little bit few games this week because I was busy yesterday and I can't play tomorrow, so
that's all right.
We had to play a bunch of games.
We're gonna catch up on like Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Let's see. Stacks. The difference has gone up by like it's like 11, I think.
Yeah, so I broke through 1,000 this week. I'm at 1,074.
Yeah. I'm at 889.
And that's a difference of 185 stacks.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many stacks did I finish ahead of you last split? Let me check that out.
191.
Wow. Okay. So I just gotta do better than that. That's what I wanna do. But it doesn't matter. Obviously.
How many games did we have?
31? No.
38 games. Okay. How many games do we got here? 36. Okay.
So I gotta start smoking more to get around the same.
Whoa, whoa.
I don't have to, but I want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to claw it back, so.
True. I believe in you, though, Dan. I think you can.
We'll try and... If I can keep it steady for the most part, I'd be okay with that.
That's,
you know, keep on par, and then next time I just smoke you.
I think that's never gonna happen, but you know, you gotta believe.
Average game time, still about 20 minutes. May have gone down a little bit.
Yeah,
we
I
thought
think we
that
were
we
at
had
21,
a weren't we? A running. Yeah, I think it was that. We thought we had a running for the shortest game, but we did not. We still have a shortest game of like 11, just over 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And the next closest one is like seconds longer than our shortest. So
literally like 30 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
26 seconds.
Longest game so far, I think, was that 37 minute game. Wow.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard to top.
Yeah, it really is. that's crazy.
I'm really hoping we can get a 40-minute game in, though. That really is the goal.
Oh, I know. It's going to feel like we're in there forever.
Exactly. That's what I want. I'm trap me inside the murder bridge.
Literally.
Don't let me go.
Let's see how the homies are doing. Did they play anymore?
We played like one game with Ian this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was... we played three? He actually...
Yeah. Three games.
He actually topped his high Dark Harvest stack score. He held mm-hmm. he held the previous record of 62 Dark Harvest stacks in one game,
and he
broke
smashed it.
Smashed it with Nyla. He had 66. Uh-huh. This was actually a funny game because we were all AP except for him, and they built no armor, so he just one shot.
Uh-huh, and he just literally.
but good for him. He capitalized on that. So.
Mm-hmm. And with the homies, we have a 65% win ratio. All of the, oh, this might not be right. Let me see. Hold up. I need to see how many we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, It is not right. Okay. I have to add one more.
Live editing right now. This is big. Danny's in his bag right now.
All right. The homies have broken 1,000.
Huge. I still have more sacks than the homies currently. All the homies combined. Less games, but
yes.
You know, still, I'll take it.
Let's see. They're coming up on you though, Matt.
Huh?
They're like 40 behind approximately.
Yeah, it's like 40.
But with both of us, not even close.
Me. True.
Like yeah, 800.
Our total is 1,963. Who you think is the early favorite for ARAM MVP? Is it looking like a potential two times?
I have some. It is. It does look like that. I have some. I have a challenge from a homie.
Oh yeah.
A statement maybe. Maybe that's a better statement.
Okay. Wait, they have to 1v1 for it?
Yeah. Let's see if they're tied.
Yeah.
That's how you do a tiebreaker.
Yeah. On ARAM.
Boxgo 69 has said that he will be the ARAM MVP.
Oh my god.
So
there's actual beef now.
Uh-huh.
I'll relay the message to Nayla and let him know.
All right. Yeah, so we're gonna have to see. So so he was so pissed when I got off the other night because he wanted to get like another game in. So.
I think we were all pissed. Ben has one game with us.
I know.
Can you be ARAM MVP with only one game?
No. I think we have to have a minimum of like
five or ten,
yeah. Maybe. So
Aaron's putting up some good numbers too. He's had some solid performances. Same with Wesley.
Uh-huh.
Uck is in the thing.
He's in there.
I don't know. Brian Sheets, the Ian Sheets creator, he's kind of breaking away right now. I don't know. He's kind of running away with it.
I mean, the Sheets named after him, so maybe he's got an advantage.
Yeah. It's only right that he was the first MVP now that I'm thinking about it. He really did create this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not create it, but yeah, you did. But, like, it was a team effort.
Matt. Right, I think we got to wrap this up because I got to go take a doo-doo.
Okay. Doo-doo. Were you taking doo-doo? What team is doo-doo
toilet.
On a team? Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
But anyways. Any closing words?
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. Bye.